and welcome to November. It arrived Friday night at midnight, and the voting done in our home for the holidays, so we'll look forward to that announcement coming. Also, how'd you fare in terms of the, falling back an hour, extra hour of sleep? Kind of nice, right? I mean, whatever time you go to bed on Saturday night, you go, I don't think too many people get up at 2 in the morning and do it officially then, right? So you get it done, and you're like, wow, I knew of a young individual who was going to be working overnight. And so, yeah, I got that extra hour of work in there. And so, I don't know. In general, it does throw one off. I think I woke up initially this morning right before 3, which would have been 4, the usual wake-up time. And so a little bit extra sleep in that regard. But, yeah, I think I ended up, lifting my dumbbell a little bit more yesterday morning than I typically would. So, anyhow, good morning to you. Great to have you with us here on the WIB Wake Up Show on this Monday. The Today in History aspect this morning, we got a couple of things as we get into the time machine this morning. And we begin with 1986. The Iran-Contra affair began to unfold as a Lebanese magazine broke the story of secret U.S. arms sales to Tehran. President Reagan initially denied trading arms to secure the release of American hostages in Lebanon.
In spite of the wildly speculative and false stories about arms for hostages and alleged ransom payments, we did not, repeat, did not trade weapons or anything else for hostages, nor will we.
But it turned out, of course, the story unfolded with Oliver North and more in subsequent years. And also, in 1998, running on a Minnesota Reform Party ticket, which a party that former President Trump once identified with, former pro wrestler Jesse the Body Ventura defeated Democrat Hubert Humphrey III and Republican Norm Coleman to become Minnesota's new governor. Anybody remember that?
We've shocked the world. Minnesota leads the way.
1998, Jesse Ventura. So 99 to 03, he was the governor of Minnesota. All right, and finally close it out with this morning's devotion from Larry Crabb's God's Love Letters to You, a 40-day devotional experience. We're up to day 22 already. The Gospel of Mark, moving toward the kingdom. Mark 12:34 says, you are not far from the kingdom of God. Just a short thought there. Imagining, again, this comes from Larry's longer 66 love letters. It took him 5 years to write. This imaginary conversation with God through all 66 books of the Bible. A short thought for the shortest of all of the four Gospels, Mark, goes like this. He imagines the Lord might say, like you, Mark wrongly believed that the good news of following me into a kingdom living included a life blessed with a certain level of comfort and freedom from hassle. Raised in a large home where my followers were always welcomed by Mark's mother, Mary, he, like you, mixed personal comfort with spiritual reality. But my son moved him forward. After he repented of choosing comfort over service and suffering, Mark traveled with Peter, who couldn't stop talking about his time with my son. Mark more fully realized that my son lived a life of selfless servanthood that led to undeserved suffering. He realized what kingdom living meant. The more clearly you see Christ, the more willing you will be to suffer any loss for his sake. Kingdom living consists of radical servanthood and self-denying suffering with the hope of joy forever. Mark finished well. You can too. Taking a moment to reflect around what things are your hands firmly clenched that might interfere with kingdom living. Talk to God about this and the struggle you feel to let go. What do you think is needed for you to finish well? And why do we believe that living for God should result in personal comfort? We just do, right? How might your responses to personal hardship at any moment reveal what you believe about how the spiritual life should work? Our closing prayer, Heavenly Father, what needs to change in us so that we can finish well? What do we wrongly believe about kingdom living that needs to change? We want to be moved forward. Help us to embrace suffering in a way that reveals our desire to be your servant. In Jesus' name, amen.
And congratulations to a lot of WWIB area, listening area teams punching their tickets to state and boys soccer in Division 3, Somerset in Division 1, Hudson boys soccer making the state tournament in Division 5, and girls volleyball, Wausau, Newman, and Rib Lake in Division 4. Congratulations to Eau Claire Regis and Blair Taylor going to state. And in Division 3, the Barron Golden Bears back to defend their state championship.
All right, weekend recap, WWIB. I guess we had our costume connect here, and Dawson wanted me to come in Particularly, he's like, can you go on the air with me, with mine? And lo and behold, he dressed up as me for Costume Connect. So
that was fun.
Yeah, kind of a old red Wogo sweatshirt I've had for years, and my Milwaukee Bucks cap. So anyhow, we had some fun with that, and a lot of costumed folks around here that afternoon. From a sports angle, a lot of things there. The thrill of victory with a McDonald victory at Flambeau as they move on in eight-player action to level four on Friday night. So congrats to the Flambeau squad. They had a terrific season as well. However, disappointment with the Bucks losing Saturday, the Blue Jays losing Saturday night, the Dodgers again, and even the Packer loss yesterday. Made some chicken stroganoff and banana bread along the way, church and small groups as well.
Well, Friday night, I got to be just a fan in the stands, which is odd. There are a couple of friends as I went up to see the Rice Lake game, and my younger brother Will play against your alma mater in Wauwatosa East. There were folks saying, is it weird to be watching a game and not saying anything? And I said, yeah, but I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it very much, and the Warriors got a win, so they'll move on to level three. And so enjoyed that time with family and being in the stands, and Lindsay and the kids all came with me, which is a ton of fun having them around me when I'm watching high school sports, because that usually doesn't happen. So enjoyed that. Saturday was kind of a rest and recuperate kind of day, because I think my body was telling me, buddy, you've been pushing yourself really hard the last few weeks, and maybe just ease up a little bit. I still got my 30,000 steps in on Saturday and got a few work items done, but able to just kind of keep it at home and enjoyed some Saturday night sectional final volleyball. Congratulations to my wife's alma mater, the Barron Golden Bears, going back to state. So we enjoyed watching that one. You know what? My Rice Lake Warriors girls didn't quite get it. Didn't quite get it. Lost in five sets to Wapaka, but enjoyed some very exciting volleyball on Saturday night. So that was a lot of fun. Sunday was our harvest dinner at church, and kind of just a praise service. Always great to hear the testimonies of what God has been doing in people's lives. And my little sister, it's the 50th anniversary of our church. And so my little sister, Lydia, who's very talented, made a little documentary kind of about the history of our church over the last 50 years and what God has done. And so really, really neat to see that. And won't focus too much on the Packers game because it wasn't what we were hoping for. But the plus side of all that, as I told Cooper, was because we had the harvest dinner and it was a noon game, we recorded the game and watched it later. So it didn't take nearly as long to get to the disappointing finish as it would have otherwise.
There you go. Silver lining.
Indeed.
The Whip Wake Up Show here for a Monday, November 3rd. Yes, a new month arrived over the weekend, and we've got some of the special events for this 11th month of the year. For instance, Caleb talked about getting in his 30,000 steps. Well, November is Movember. So be moving. Yeah.
It's also American Diabetes Awareness Month in November.
Aviation Month.
National Adoption Month.
It is, yeah. National Alzheimer's Awareness Month.
It is National Georgia Pecan Month, though I'm guessing down there they probably say pecan or pecan.
It's National Novel Writing Month.
It is Vegan Month in November.
It's National Fun with Fondue Month.
That does sound fun. It's National Peanut Butter Lovers Month.
National Pepper Month.
November is National Stuffing Month. That tracks.
Boy, we do think about that during this month. And it's National Raisin Bread Month. Also, some things to look forward to. Some we've already had. Like over the weekend, they had Bacon Fest in Easton, Pennsylvania.
Also, it was very nice that daylight saving time came to an end. So
the New York City Marathon was yesterday.
Election Day, November 4th. So that's coming up tomorrow for various races and issues across the United States.
Veterans Day a week from tomorrow, November 11th.
November 17th and 18th, the Leonid Meteor Shower peaks, an annual meteor shower known for its bright meteors and potential for storm-level activity. So that's coming up in the middle of the month.
Country Music Awards, November 19th.
November 26th is Thanksgiving, always the day before Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, a day to give thanks for one of the world's most beloved actors, Tom Hanks.
He's even got his own holiday. Of course, Thanksgiving is on November 27th, Thursday, November 27th.
Also, my sister Rachel's birthday falls on Thanksgiving this year. So happy birthday, Rachel. When we get there on November 28th, Black Friday, of course, one of the biggest shopping days of the year. And got Small Business Weekend coming up after that. Support your small businesses.
And also in November, the National Toy Hall of Fame inductees will be announced. So we want to share with you next hour who the 12 finalists are.
Yeah, stay tuned right after 8:15 for that.
All right, later during the month of November, we'll find out what are the latest toys to make it into the Toy Hall of Fame. But earlier this fall, they announced the 12 finalists. And this hour, both now and after 8:45, we want to run down that list. So the first six, and the first of those is Battleship. Oh, I remember playing that game as a kid. Originally a pencil and paper game, Battleship's inspiration began with similar two-person strategy games in the late 19th century. I didn't know it went back that far. Various manufacturers printed paper versions beginning in the 30s. TV advertising played a part in the success of Milton Bradley's now iconic plastic 1967 edition. Since its debut almost 60 years ago, Battleship has sold more than 100 million copies.
Wow.
And it's made its appearance, the computerized version, in the late 70s, and today countless electronic versions exist.
That's just one of the 12 finalists for the National Toy Hall of Fame. Very, very worthy. Another game, more recent, is Catan, first published by Cosmos in Germany. Catan, known earlier as Settlers of Catan. And I know a lot of people still say, you know, hey, you want to play Settlers rather than you want to play Catan. But anyway, it's one of the first German-style board games to achieve popularity outside of Europe. Well-deserved. It's fantastic. It is a strategic competitive game in which players represent settlers establishing communities and cities on an island. Catan heralded a boom in modern hobbyist board gaming. As of 2025, more than 45 million copies of Catan in 40 languages have sold. And the original game, as well as special versions and expansions, have won multiple international game awards.
I'm so glad you got to read the Catan entry as you played it.
I do love it.
The third of these is Connect Four, also known under non-proprietary names, is commonplace in many U.S. households. Taking turns dropping discs into a vertical grid, players attempt to form a line of four discs in their color while the game Connect Four has long been mathematically solved, meaning that the first player can always win with the correct moves. The game remains popular. It may teach the youngest kids hand-eye coordination and pattern detection, and it underscores the benefits of thinking ahead. Whatever the benefits, kids of a certain age enjoy Connect Four, and parents have found plenty of reasons to like it, too.
See, again, there's so much nostalgia with all of this, and as I was introducing my kids to the original Toy Story the other day, they're playing Connect Four in a scene in that.
Yeah.
Cornhole. Glad I got this one, too. National Toy Hall of Fame, first six finalists, and then we'll give you the next six later on this hour. Cornhole boards and beanbags are common sights in the backyards or patios. While the game is commonly associated with the American Midwest, it is enjoyed nationally and even internationally, competing one-on-one or in teams. Players attempt to throw beanbags at a slanted wooden board with a hole in it. They score 1 point for landing a bag on the board, 3 points for throwing a bag through the hole. The game is played with many house rules and regional variants. Cornhole simplicity and flexibility have made it a staple of the picnic, bonfire, and barbecue for adults and children alike.
Yeah, and you've organized a few cornhole tournaments.
I have.
Fifth of these six this go around is Furby. Will it make it into the Toy Hall of Fame this month? A fuzzy creature with piglet ears, a bird beak, and drowsy blinking eyes debuted in 1998. It featured innovative technology, including adaptive language learning, pre-programmed, and sensors. More than 40 million Furbies sold within the first 3 years of production. It was reintroduced to a new generation of kids just a couple of years ago with enhancements. For more than a quarter century, Furby has encouraged interactive, imaginative play and demonstrated the capabilities of sophisticated technology.
All right, and one more here, and then we'll give you the other six later on. The final of our first six Hall of Fame nominees for the National Toy Hall of Fame is the scooter. First appearing as a homemade vehicle of two wheels, a wooden deck, and handlebars, the scooter began cruising American streets and sidewalks around the turn of the 20th century. Scooters continue to provide kids with easy, fast enough, low-tech transportation for generations. Modern scooters made of lightweight materials and innovative technology such as Razor scooters, those were all the rage for a while, have transformed the mild-mannered two-wheeler into a vehicle of speed, dexterity, and durability suited for a variety of sporting events and competitions.
And now bird scooters can be found everywhere in Eau Claire.
Indeed, indeed. All right, so first six out of 12 finalists in the National Toy Hall of Fame nominees. We'll give you the other half dozen later on this hour.
So we started earlier in the hour with a run-through of the 12 toys that are finalists for the 2025 induction into the Strong's National Toy Hall of Fame. Now, only a few will take their honored places in the hall this year, later this month, when they're announced by the Strong this November. So we come to number seven of these toys, and it is slime. It has leveraged its squishy, squashy, tactile appeal to become a beloved plaything for generations of kids. From its commercial introduction in 1976, slime has gone on to become an element of other playthings and a television star in its own right. Manufacturers produce slime under various brand names with certain proprietary twists, but slime has also proliferated as a do-it-yourself project. Yes, make your own slime. Most importantly, slime encourages play that is messy and experimental.
It's a good one. It's a good one. How about snow? Snow is also a finalist. Now, is snow just precipitation, or is it the ultimate vehicle for play, they say? Packed into balls, it becomes a mostly harmless projectile that provides endless fun. It also supports slower constructive play. It can be used to build a snow fort or make a snow angel. Sledding, skiing, and snowboarding offer electrifying downhill descents for the brave. Whether sculpted creatively or sledded or shredded upon, snow makes for a toy like no other. That's a fairly compelling case now, for snow being a finalist.
It's interesting to me. Snow's always been out there, but somebody along the way at one of the meetings said, what if I nominated snow
for the Toy Hall of Fame?
Number nine is the Spirograph, a simple toy for creating geometric drawings or a complicated tool for understanding complex mathematical formulas. Which is it? Either way, Spirograph has entertained and educated kids of all ages for 60 years. Spirograph was first packaged as a set of gears, rings, triangles, and straight bars. By placing a pen point into one hole of a gear and rotating it around the other gear or inside another, users could create intricately patterned geometric drawings. Art or math, play or educational tool, Spirograph is a formula for fun.
The next one, nominee for the Toy Hall of Fame, deserves its own theme music. The Star Wars lightsaber. A nominee for the National Toy Hall of Fame, a finalist this year. When 20th Century Fox released the first Star Wars movie in 1977, no one imagined it would change the toy industry and popular entertainment so dramatically. Kenner released an official Star Wars lightsaber toy in 1978, jumped on that pretty quick. The arsenal of toy lightsabers that followed, with lights and sounds, demonstrates the influence of popular culture on play, our fascination with mystical weapons, and the possibilities of technology. We definitely have some lightsabers in the Swenson household. Very much so.
Another
great toy.
Another perfect fit that you got to read that one. Number 11 of the 12 is Tickle Me Elmo. Combined the appeal of Sesame Street standout character with a novel design and became the must-have toy of the 1996 holiday season, almost 30 years ago. Putting electronics into a plush-type toy had been done before, but Tickle Me Elmo took it to the next level and allowed the toy to emulate the experience of being tickled. Hence the name. Laughter is emotional and physical. It's fun, but also a little uncomfortable. When Elmo was tickled, he laughed, and then he laughed some more and shook with glee. Tickle Me Elmo relates to basic play elements, anticipation, surprise, and pleasure.
That is one of the first toy crazes that I remember where it was like, how in the world are you going to get? And thankfully, I wasn't a parent back then trying to get one for my kids. One more nominee out of a dozen finalists for the National Toy Hall of Fame, Trivial Pursuit. These brain-racking questions have been challenging players for more than four decades. The game rewards a vast breadth of knowledge, with questions ranging from geography to entertainment, from history to art, and from science to sports. As individuals or in teams, players race to collect pie wedges in six colors by maneuvering around the board and successfully answering trivia questions, available in various editions on a wide array of topics. Trivial Pursuit is a challenge for trivia enthusiasts of all stripes. By 2023, the game had sold more than 100 million copies.
I think of my dad, who was a great Trivial Pursuit player. So we'll have the report later in the month. Who made it into the Toy Hall of Fame?